Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. We're just so excited about joining you here. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We just want to welcome our audience around the nation and around the world. And we're going to be talking about today, I believe, that God is responding to our prayers, and he's making a huge adjustment in the organizational chart of what protects us in America. And we're going to be talking about a prophetic dream the Lord had given us, but also the fact of how the Secret Service kind of come into that, and this whole chaos thing that's been kind of shadowing the Secret Service for unusually for a period of time, because these are known as the most excellent 6,000, I believe, officers, yeah, probably on the face of the earth. I mean, mm-hmm, these guys and men and women. And we're just seeing all these weird things take place. And I just think this is encouraging, because some things the Lord has shown us President Obama was elected. He still was Senator Obama then. John will be talking about that. He showed us a strategy that some people had planned and had set up, which was confirmed a little bit later on in another prophetic dream, but also confirmed through John Paul Jackson talking specifically, yeah, about it as well. And, you know, God tells us things not so we can say, hey, I knew that, but we could just pray that it wouldn't happen.
That's right.
And it makes me think about, you know, Bob Jones, who's now with the Lord, but was a mentor of so many, including Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, who a man, by the way, who had he had this encounter in heaven and then came back to earth.
Yeah.
And of all the things he could have said, and came, the message he came back with is, I'm going to love. Mm-hmm. He changed everything to, like, I'm going to love. And it's just like, okay. And we're going to be talking more about that. As a matter of fact, you just heard on the radio program last Friday, was about love, just talking about crazy love with Francis Chan. I mean, this is so important. This is not like an optional thing. Mm. And of all the things he could say when he came back was, you know, we got to love. Mm. We've got to love. And so because the Secret Service now, they just asked for resignation of the leader of the Secret Service, and they are bringing back in a former retired Secret Service agent that was part of the original, the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, wow, this is in this particular, I don't know what they call him, but this temporary person is going to come in, that he's going to be responsible for reorganizing all this, it appears, which means that they'll go back to their original intent.
Yeah, that's great.
And some of the things that the Lord had told us, and this happens to every single president. I mean, there's always people out there to try to do America harm and try to hurt our president in some way. President Ronald Reagan was shot. Many presidents have been shot at, but of course, Abraham Lincoln. But Secret Service, by the way, didn't even come into play until President Teddy Roosevelt in 1901 or something like that. And he was the vice president of William McKinley. And the reason why they made him vice president is because they're trying to get rid of him out of New York. Mm. They say if you make somebody vice president, you'll never hear from them again. But they didn't know that somebody would take a shot and shoot at President William McKinley. And he didn't die immediately, but he died while he was in office. By that, he was assassinated in, I believe, 1901 or something. So Teddy Roosevelt became the president. Teddy Roosevelt is one of the ones that is carved out there on Mount Rushmore, and he's the one that was responsible for the Panama Canal. He is the president that had the first African American in America come and have dinner at the White House, which was Tuskegee, University of Tuskegee founder. It was but at that point is when he, they realize you got to have some Secret Service. And so up to that point, the Treasury Department, they were actually over the money and currency and all of that. And all of a sudden, the Treasury Department just took that on and said, okay, we're going to be the Secret Service. And they worked all that out. So since Teddy Roosevelt, President Teddy Roosevelt, there's been a Secret Service, and it's gotten bigger and larger. And, you know, Air Force One, it was originally, you know, Air Force, you know, Model A, you know, or this is the Air Force buggy. And by the way, just so you know this. And so he comes in, everybody, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed. You know, President Lincoln's already, you know, gone to see his fathers. He's passed. And so everybody's going, everything's fine. The Emancipation Proclamation signed. So here we are in 1901. And he invites Booker T. Washington to come in and have dinner at the White House. That was a big deal. That was the first African-American to come and eat, not serve, obviously, there because they were serving there, but to eat and equal with the president. Mm-hmm. And Booker T. Washington, most powerful African-American man probably in the country at that particular time, he is Tuskegee. He founded Tuskegee.
He hired George Washington Carver.
My volume's low here. Yeah, he hired and he did all that. Mm-hmm. And so just to give you a little commercial here about that. So all of a sudden, a lot of people in America had issue with that. And so never again did he, in his term and as presidency, did he have him back. Even maintaining a friend, he never had him back to dinner again. And even down in Texas, there was a situation where false accusations were brought against a segregated military, but a whole African-American troop that had a white lieutenant or sergeant or whatever. And these charges were brought up underneath during President Roosevelt's time. And it was proven untrue. I mean, somebody from North Carolina went and represented that time,
you know,
and cleared this whole troop and said that didn't happen. But President Roosevelt never did. These guys got discharged. They got disassociated from them. And they just totally did this whole troop wrong, even though they didn't do anything wrong at all, which was, it's just that terrific, you know, as Christians that, you know, from our perspective, we're not saying people are, or everybody in America is a Christian. We're not saying that. But we should see that that's a huge injustice. So in this and understand the story of this particular president, the reason why I'm saying this is when the Secret Service was established during his Teddy Roosevelt's time, because the president he replaced, who was assassinated, they didn't realize you got to have somebody there. And there was a post office that President Teddy Roosevelt appointed, and we'll talk more about this in the future just so you understand this, to kind of give you some insight. He appointed the first African-American in the U.S. post office at this post office here in Mississippi. I think it's Eupora, Mississippi or something of that nature. And the people in that city ran her out of the office, ran her totally out of the office. And so President Roosevelt shut down that post office and made everybody in that city go 20 miles to mail a letter to do, and everything was post office at that time.
Wow.
And so he did make a stand there. But this is the interesting thing, and we will talk more about this, but that city that we don't even know there, I mean, it's Eupola, I believe it is the city that the Lord showed Brother John Kilpatrick that earthquake would begin in. It would begin in that city and it would go all the way up from Mississippi up to the middle of the United States. And this, you know, the, what was the name of the fault line they call it? The Madrid fault line. And it starts right there where injustice was done to this lady.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, God's a just God. It's, you know, go to the cross and file spiritual bankruptcy today and say, dear Lord, everything, I'm laying it all at the cross. All of my ideas, all of my concepts, everything that I said, this stuff trying to defend folks that I don't even know that was in this country from way back when, just because they're on the, on a $20 bill, you know, you know, just like, forget that. I don't know God. All I know is I just want to be faithful to you. And I want to treat all men justly. And it's just amazing. So you're seeing God just bring justice, you know, and that's what I feel like is coming, you know, in that aspect, which is exciting because that justice means this. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to hear, no one cries for justice, because justice is about, it's supposed to be about putting things back in their right order again. before you cry out for it, go to the cross. Understand that if justice is served, and so many people are crying for justice, they don't realize if you cry for justice, and you have, you yourself, you know, I needed Jesus Christ. You know, I'm a sinner. I needed God. I needed to go let the justice that, that was due me. I had to say, you know what? I'm going to just trust you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And then God served all of the justice that was due me on his son. On his son. And so then I can say, not because of myself, but because of what Jesus did, I can cry out for justice. And I can tell folks, listen, you can either just, you know, absorb the justice of God directly on you because you want to be the Lord of your life. You want to be your own God. Or you can go make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And think about this. I know we're going to go to break and we're going to come back and talk about the Secret Service and the organizational chart and all that. That this is what I think Ezekiel 17 says. Because a lot of people think, I'm an island, you know, and that, you know, I've done some things bad, but I haven't done bad things as him or her, especially what people have done in the past. So, yeah, I am walking in this conscious sin and against what God says. But this is what Ezekiel 17 says. I believe it's 17. He says, if you choose to do what's wrong, first of all, he says this, if a father does wrong before God and he has a son, the son chooses to do what's right, he will not suffer for his father's sins. But if in fact he begins to turn his back from God and he does what's wrong, the son does, then everything that son has done in righteousness towards God will be remembered, and he will suffer for his sins and his father's sins. So when you look at the history of America and the sin that has happened in this land, that alone should drive you to the cross. First of all, being broken and shattered for what happened to our own brothers and sisters, our fellow citizens in this nation, but also for the fact that it's not going to be just the wave of your sin. It's going to be the wave of your father's, 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 a tidal wave of justice coming over the land, getting things back in order again. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the cross. I want to say, Jesus, you know, forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my arrogance. I just want to be able to come to this place where you met us at the cross. And it makes me think about this too. I mean, I know we need to go to break. It makes me think about Liberia today. With Ebola breakout. You know where Liberia was founded? It was founded by America. The repatriation of Africans back to Africa. That's why their capital is called Monroeville. Because it was President Monroe. And so people are all worried about, you know, Ebola coming to America from Africa. And it's like, you don't understand. That's coming from Libya. That's coming from our own sins and our father's sins where they enslaved the African people. And so what's coming back is this flesh-eating bacteria.
Wow.
So you can't think, oh, I'm going to go ahead and just encapsulate this and we're going to control this versus saying, we've sinned. There is sin in the land. They went, what they did, they said, well, since we took the Africans from Africa, so what we're going to do is take them back to Africa. They're not, they weren't Africans, they were Americans. And so, you know, they've been in, they're born in America, they're Americans, and they have equal rights to everybody in America. But that the fact that that's coming from Liberia, the place that President Monroe established with his attempts based on history trying to make a wrong thing right, and that's why they really, you know, loved him to the point where they named the city Monroeville. That, but now we are suffering. You know, and the world is suffering. When we see, when America sees Liberia suffer, we should be, I mean, every resource we can imagine should go to Liberia. Everything that we have, we should fly in everything, pray. And it was so good to see Samaritan Purse there. So sad to see the doctor that was affected, but so grateful that he and his assistant have recovered. But there's thousands are dying today in Liberia. Understand, Liberia is there because of America's sin. And its place of repentance where it tried to repent by saying, let's repatriate the African people back in Africa. But they weren't, they're American. they're African Americans. And so either way, we just need to pray for all this and understand this is all connected. And we need to say, dear Lord, you know, have mercy on us, turn us back. And we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the Secret Service and what the Lord had revealed prophetically, but also how it seems like he's restructuring things back the way they used to be, hopefully to prevent what he showed would possibly happen. Back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
It's true that men and women are different, and sometimes in a marriage that leads to some challenges. On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Julie Slattery recalls how she had to learn to let go and follow her husband's lead.
There are so many things that Mike adds to my life, and I love the fact that he's more laid back than I am. He helps me relax. He helps me laugh. He helps me not take life so seriously. And I had to start to look towards him in leadership in the areas that he was already strong and say, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a little compulsive about things, and I need to let go and learn to let and encourage Mike to lead in the ways that he's naturally gifted. And for me, that was a huge paradigm shift, and I started to know what it was like to have him lead in his strengths rather than me trying to make him into who I wanted him to be.
Learn how to reduce conflict and have a stronger marriage. We've got help for you at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt, is there any doubt in your mind, if we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right into talking about this shift that's taking place with, you know, we're kind of giving, you know, God's news behind the news, a biblical perspective of this, and some things that the Lord has shared with us and shared with others, that before the president became president, the Lord had given a dream. If you could just share briefly about this dream, John, the Lord had given you, and we'll have it in its entirety as a related link.
I had this dream in 2007, I believe, during the election cycle. We're getting ready to vote for a president, but before that, it was the primary. So at this time, we didn't even know who was going to represent the Republicans or the Democrats in the race. But that time, Barack Obama from, you know, Illinois, he was a senator. He was still, you know, running. But during this time period, this is what happened. What was happening in you know, the history at this point was the scandal with Reverend Jeremiah Wright, things he was saying about America that was coming to surface. And in the natural, I thought there's no way that the president, you know, Barack Obama at the time was going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was over. This is done. And I had a dream right about that same period of time. And in this dream, I had realized that Barack Obama had won the presidency. I mean, fast forward, he had won. He's standing in the middle of a living room. Some other things involved in this dream. But I'm just giving you this brief part. He's standing in the middle of the living room with his arms folded, and I remember this the same picture that I saw on the cover on Times Magazine. Mm-hmm. And right behind them were two white-haired senators, and they're patting him on the back, congratulating him. And the very next scene in the dream, he was actually dead. He was lying on the floor of the same living room, no one there but him, and his body was outlined with tape or chalk like a crime scene. And as soon as I saw that, I woke up instantly. I've never, I mean, God speaks to me often in dreams. I've never woke up like this after a dream. This is the only time I woke straight up out of bed. My body just came right up. I grabbed my wife's leg and just started saying, oh my goodness, this is a setup. This is a setup. And I got flooded with, you know, a bunch of thoughts and a bunch of things that were starting to connect. It's like God was just giving it to me at that point. And we have seen since that time. He did win the presidency. This was way early on.
Mm-hmm. When they thought he wouldn't be.
Yeah, this. I mean, it was over. There's no way he's going to win. Right. You know, he won the presidency. And since then, as early as 2009, we've seen serious lapses in security that have put this president very, you know, in harm's way, very vulnerable. And we've listed this out. We'll make sure it's related for you on the torch in a segment we've entitled Pray for President Barack Obama, Pray for the President. But that's basically the dream in a nutshell. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God, that's immediately what we began to do was just pray for the president, pray for protection. And the interesting thing I noticed when I began to share with this with people who I thought, you know, were so excited about President Obama becoming president, they didn't even, it's just like, are you excited about him becoming president and making this, which was a big, huge shift for America, and it was a great thing in regards to the context of that? Or do you think you're going to get something from this man?
Right.
Don't you care that is sustained? And I'm asking people to partner with me to pray for his protection. And it makes me think when I was talking about him earlier, he's passed, Rick Joyner,
Bob Jones.
Bob Jones talks about when President Bill Clinton was president, the Lord had revealed to them that there was an attempt set out to be able to hurt, harm, assassinate President Bill Clinton. So they just began to pray against that wouldn't happen, any kind of plans or anything. And they did pray, and obviously, you know, President Clinton's with us here today. But think about how that was just, that's what we have to do. God shows us things, and then we're supposed to pray that it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then you're listening to, when you hear John Paul Jackson and this prophecy about, you know, the perfect storm. You can find out how to get there off the VFNTV.com. But he says that there will be an attempt from the Muslim people, some of the Muslim people, that would, and this is before we knew everything about the Brotherhood and all that they would make an attempt on the president's life, but they would do it in such a way that it would make it look like it was somebody in America that had done it. And so, of course, we continued to pray when that word came out. And then this is when the Lord began to show us that it's those that are close to the president, because when you think about, you know, what Rick Joyner was shared by the Lord through the dream we just talked about, and hopefully that's related, you can go find out more details about it. It's all related here, is that all of a sudden the citizens got really upset with the government and with the federal government. And so in this dream, prophetic dream of Rick Joyner's, which just happened a couple weeks ago, that they were going towards the White House and all that. And so we're starting to see during that time, we're seeing some weird things happening. Somebody's in the elevator with a gun. The Secret Service allowed that, you know, happen. You had somebody that jumping across the fence and made it into the green room.
East room.
The East Room of the White House. And it's crazy. And they're saying that the door wasn't locked. And all I could think was that the whole narrative's being built now for this thing that's going to be a setup, make it look like it was going to happen, but it wasn't going to happen. But it's going to look bad on the American people, because they were, according to the prophetic dream, was that they would it would look like the American people did it, but what was really going on was it was a Muslim plot. It was more than likely, you know, but it's just, that was the word, a Muslim plot. And in that, so you're seeing security breakdown. We're like, oh my goodness, you're seeing, you know, the Secret Service, they're excellent people. They're people that protect the strongest powered country in the world's leader. And that's when you say protecting the president, you're saying protecting all of us, because that they are us when they're mm-hmm. there, who we chose to lead the country. And so in that, then you start seeing all this comes to a head. But you're seeing people, when you think about Rick Joyner's stream, and you can go, but you can listen to it on VFN TV, the people were turning towards the White House and they were saying, it's your fault. And that brings us to what happened in this next prophetic dream, where, you know, God showed John the people coming in a normal way to talk to the president, and they weren't going to harm the president. They were going to go talk to him. But somebody else that was close to him came out of... We'll tell you more when we come back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
He wanted it so bad, and all of a sudden his whole paradigm shifted. Everything he thought was right, he thought, man, this is like, whoa, this is just powerful. And in tune, all of a sudden, just like the last situation, people started getting filled and with a baptism that was under that particular ministry there. And some said, we don't want any part of this. And the final conclusion was, he got the foot of fellowship just like others who get the foot. I mean, it comes a time when you go after God, you have to understand there's people that don't want God. They want religion, but they don't want God. They don't want the promise. They don't care if God delivers the promise or not. But you can't do this without power. We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses of God. Witnesses need evidence. You got to have evidence as a witness. You can't just have words. What do you know? I got words too. I got a whole dictionary of words. But what about the power? Paul clearly asked the question, and we should do the same thing to anyone. Even if they're a believer, we should say, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? First, realize they may have heard the word Holy Spirit. They may have read the word the Holy Spirit. They may have some sort of maybe even a twisted teaching about the Holy Spirit, or they may actually have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So most people are going to say, yeah, I'm in. I pray, and, you know, whatever it is, you know, they're going to mention the Holy Spirit. But the difference is, do you have the power?
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more, join the dream at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about prophetic words and dreams the Lord has given, but also years, almost 6 years of prayers, 7 years of prayers, that these things wouldn't come to pass. And we're watching the intervention, it looks like, of God beginning to shift things around and answer prayers. And this is just how the Lord does it. And when we're looking at what's taking place in the Secret Service, which is this excellent branch of officers who have, for since Teddy Roosevelt, protected our presidents and just grown with exponential abilities over the years, to seemingly to begin to fall apart. It's just like, what's happening? And we're going to show you the organizational chart, because they've moved the Secret Service from the Treasury Department, from being under the Treasury Department, to be up under Homeland Security at the very bottom of the organizational chart.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, what's going on? Why would you do that? And it looks like they're restructuring things again. And so I want you to hear. So this is the next prophetic dream that came that kind of showed and lines up with what Rick Joyner was just showed a couple weeks ago. What potentially is going to happen or could happen in America, and maybe this shift is going to prevent that.
Yeah. In this dream the Lord gave me, I was in the White House, and what I saw was a group of Americans, maybe 8 to 10, you know, people, and they were actually chasing the President of the United States. They were chasing President Barack Obama.
Well, this is in America.
In America, in the White House. And
Americans?
Americans.
Okay.
And they were chasing him, and, you know, the feeling and the sense that I had in the dream was that they were about to do him some harm. And so he's running from them, but while he was running, he actually had a headset, like a telemarketer would wear, on. And he was actually speaking to people outside of the White House, like giving a speech or talking to them. The people outside the White House couldn't see him. The president couldn't see them, but he was talking to them all the while he's running away from these citizens that are trying to apprehend him and get him. And the feeling that I had in the dream was to do him harm.
So this sounds a lot like, if you haven't, you need to go and watch what was just said to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. I mean, he sat there, and we have it for you. It was part of VFN TV. You would have seen it, been watching the program. If not, you can go to VFNTV.com. Go to the VFN Torch and actually see this, because this lines up with what God has said way back when and what we've been praying that it wasn't. And we're talking about the Secret Service because I believe the Lord has making a shift now in Secret Service that's going to potentially totally prevent what he's about to share in this next aspect of it. So this is,
you know, getting, you know, going to a certain place now where are they going to catch him? And now I've never in the natural been to the White House, but in this dream I'm looking and I'm seeing the president actually run down these stairs that were carpeted in red. It was red carpet, and he's running down these stairs, and at the foot of the stairs over towards the left were this group of citizens, maybe about 6-7 feet away from him. And they're thinking, you know, we're going to get him. Mm-hmm. And before they're about to make that move,
so was he just in the room, or was the people at? And
well, the people were to the left of him. If you're looking like right into the room, he ran down the foot of the steps, and he's now facing to the right. They're facing towards him, and they're maybe 7-8 feet away from him. So they're not, you know, too close. And just about you get the sense that they're about to go get him. He says something in
the
dream.
They being the American people.
The American people. Before he, you know, they're about to make that move, he says to them, looks over to them real confidently, and says, if you come and get me, you touch me, they are going to come and get you.
Okay, so here we are. We're in this is a dream. And so when you look at what Rick Joyner said, Rick Joyner was told by the Lord just a couple of days ago, he says, that because of all this turmoil and what's taking place with the borders and all the things that are going to be happening horrifically to American people, that people are going to get so angry that they're going to be blaming the federal government for what happened, and that they would be, some federal employees would be running for their lives, actually is what they said, running out of states. Of course, our response as Christians is that's a non-Christian response. We wouldn't do that. But everybody's not Christian. and they wouldn't perceive it that way. So this kind of looks like that dream. But I really believe the shifting of what's taking place in the Secret Service is possibly the prevention of what you're about to talk about next. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so he makes that statement to them. Listen, if you come and touch me, they are going to come and get you. And then you can tell that the citizens, they were paused for a moment to try to, you know, listen to what he had to say and to think about it. And it took a brief second. They thought about it. And I can tell it by watching that they made the decision, we're going to go get him anyway. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the first person made the first step to go get the president, in the front door just slams wide open. And this giant of a man who was a Secret Service agent, he walks in and looks directly over, walks right up to the American citizen who's about to do harm. And he says, you shouldn't have done that. Because now I got to take care of you and I got to take care of him. Speaking about the president, he takes the butt of a gun and knocks the citizen out and then looks at the president, pulls out a gun and shoots the president dead.
Wow.
The sense I had in the dream was that he was no longer useful anymore to whoever was behind that.
Which lines up with a setup thing. Right. And if you go back and you can listen to everything on the VFNTV.com, and we've talked about, you know, where the president's pastor told the world, told a group of media that you have to understand he was selected before he was elected. He first has to do what the people who selected him to do, and then he'll get to that, basically what he's saying. We have him actually saying that. You can hear it firsthand. It's not just repeating. We also have a meeting at maybe the Kennedy Library, I guess, of the group that was deciding on who they wanted to be the transformative president. And their statement at that point was that out of all the people running, Senator Barack Obama would be the most conservative one, so he probably wouldn't do it. It'd be more probably Hillary Clinton or some other ones of that nature. But there is obviously some sort of, you know, if you're going to be president, I guess people select you or something, you know, the money or whatever. So, you know, we've been praying for over 7 years, I guess, because it's been six and it was before it happened. And these things are happening more and more and more. And then you're looking at the falling apart of the protection of the president and replacing. I mean, it just seems, you know, what's going on here? We're like, dear Lord. And I believe today when... just this last week when Julian Pearson had to step down because all this was going on, you know, whether she just resigned, I don't know what it was, but I guess she was over it during all this time. But they're going to bring in, they brought in a former Secret Service agent, Joseph Clancy, that was, you know, he retired, I believe, from the Secret Service. I think he was the security, director of security for Comcast. He came back out of that. But now he is the acting director for the United States Secret Service. And they're going to begin, if you can see right here, I want to show you the organizational chart. Because remember, in the organizational chart originally, that you can see it on your screen here. But the when under Teddy Roosevelt, the Secret Service was all over money at first. That's what they did. They handled the money. And... but then after Teddy Roosevelt was vice president and became president because McKinley got assassinated in office, they pulled the protection squad out of that and they started training these men at that time to be protection of the president. So it's always was under the Treasury Department until just under President George Bush, they started putting everything under Homeland Security and it's become so big, it's such a monstrosity. It's like, how can you really do it well? FEMA, look what FEMA happened with Katrina and what was taking place because it was all put into that Homeland Security thing. And it should, FEMA should be an independent organization. But you see right here at the United States, at the Homeland Security organizational chart right here, and it's led by the secretary, the deputy secretary, and then it has the chief of staff. But when you look at the very bottom, the very, very bottom of the organizational chart to the right there, you see it, you see the United States Secret Service. It's at the very bottom of the organizational chart, right there by the Transportation Secretary Administration, wow. TSA, you know, the ones wow. that check your luggage
wow.
at the airport. And so it looks like they're going to rethink everything and how they're protecting the president. And we've been praying for the president. We've been praying for Michelle and Sasha and Malia that God would just protect them. And there are some people who call themselves Christians who are not praying. Understand, God calls us to pray. Even if they're making decisions that you don't like, God didn't say if in fact, you know, your parents are good parents and they do everything right, you know, submit to them. You know, he said, you know, honor them, obey them. He says, obey your parents, honor your parents. He didn't say, you know, if you have great leaders, then, you know, pray for them and, mm-hmm. you know, celebrate right. them. He said, pray for those in authority over you. I mean, think about it, that Moses was raised up under Pharaoh. I mean, if you were praying for Pharaoh at that time, you would have been praying for Moses.
Right.
And God answered those prayers, obviously, because God just formed Pharaoh's heart exactly like he wanted to be able to fill up his plans. I'm not saying this, I'm just saying that we still pray. Understand, that would be a terrible, terrible thing. And that's why God was revealing that to us. And there's people even in this audience that knows I sat down with you as soon as God told me. And some of you just walked away and thought, that's crazy. It's like, here it is. Hmm. And so what we want to do is just pray that God would protect and pray for Joseph Clancy, who is the new acting director of the Secret Service, and that he would just get the wisdom of God to take the Secret Service back to the place that it originally was supposed to be and meant to be, and have it right snugged up close to the Treasury Department, I guess, where it would be, and the qualityness, the excellentness, and the fact they're supposed to protect the president and the president's family no matter what, and that no plots whatsoever would even formulate, that all the schemes of the devil would not take place, and that our president would serve a full terms and he would leave office and live his life and no harm would come to him or his family. And that's important to pray that way, because understand, when things get, you know, there's one thing that the president did when he was running for office, maybe his first or second time, he said, I'm a Christian just like you are. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was a prophecy, because the truth is, if you look at the Christians in America who call themselves Christians, there's not a much difference. You know, there's like Christians saying there's lots of gods and lots of ways to mm-hmm. God, and you don't have to stand with Israel and all these unbiblical stance. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it kind of sounds like at that time where the church was, things have changed a lot since then. But the thing is, we have to do what Jesus said do, and do what the Word of God tells us to do, which is pray for those in authority over. So I see, in my heart, I feel so much more confident that Joseph Clancy's moving into this place, a man who walked for years in the excellency of it, and he's going to be over it, and he is going to be restructuring it, and hopefully it'll pull it out of that Homeland Security bottom area and bring it back up to where it needs to be. And then our president and the future presidents to come, because understand, there'll be another president, God willing, and another president. And what we do here protects all of them and their families. And so we just pray right now for the protection of the president and the family, and they pray yes. for the Secret Service, yes. Joseph Clancy. Lord, we pray that you would give him wisdom and knowledge, and that the Secret Service agents would be encouraged, that they wouldn't feel like, you know, negative, but they would say, you know, we can shake ourselves. We can get back to this place again, and we will be in places of honor again, and the presidents and this president and future presidents would be safe. We just ask for that. And Lord, in this dream, that nobody would come out, there would be nobody around our president that's not for God,
yes,
for our country and for our president, that no harm would befall him. And and understand this, and I'm breaking out of the prayer for a moment, that when in that dream, when they hit the citizens over the head with the butt of the gun, that represents slavery, servitude. And somebody says, that'll never happen again. But listen, slavery is based on a tax rate. If you're 100% taxed, you're a slave. That means no matter what you do, all the money goes to someone else. So if you're 51% taxed, you're 51% a slave. Somebody says, that's not true. Don't pay the 51%.
Right.
Your master will show up.
That's right. Yeah.
And so understand that slavery is 100% tax rate. So when that butt of that gun comes down in that prophetic dream over the citizens of America who should not have been doing that, then that puts America under a place of servitude. Because whoever was behind that door, whoever's behind that person behind that door who was looking for a transformable president, and the person that the people who selected, you know, our president leader, that they have plans. But God can, and I believe will, thwart those plans, and America will go back to his original intent. Lord, we just ask you for all of this in Jesus' name.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 eye guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 eye guy.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. I go to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Yeah, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone, and just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes, and there's no difference between men and women, and we're all all the stuff was going on. And I didn't even look at the door. You know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door, and I thought, my goodness. Now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? It was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I just couldn't believe it. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously sometime back, because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back.
there was a point to that.
There was a point to that. I don't know if I heard the point. It's great that they continue to bring that moment up. That's good. It's good. That sometimes wow. We get mindsets and we walk into life without just thinking it is what we think it is. And sometimes you just don't even realize. Mm-hmm. People, it never dawns on them that it wasn't like you thought it was. And it's important for us always to look around and get a perspective. And that's why VFN TV and Data Radio Program is here, to give you a perspective, to kind of give some dimension to our conversation during these very interesting times. If you missed on Friday when Pastor John Kilpatrick spoke on a prophetically, you need to go see that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and watch that. Because he gets, matter of fact, watch the whole week. If you miss that whole week, it's just talking about what's going on in the Middle East, what's happening with all this stuff, including what's happening in America. I mean, that entire week, talking about what happened, and it ends with, you know, God's going to do something magnanimous. And just a powerful, powerful prophetic teaching, helping us understand that it's like Psalms 83 is coming more and more in focus. So make sure you get that. You can go to VFNTV.com. And get that. You know, I thought was pretty interesting with World War One. You know, we talked about, mm-hmm. you know, land and that type of thing that's going on. But, you know, prior to World War One, the world looked totally different. And what wars do, wars change borders. Wars, you know, tear down constitutions and create new ones. And so when wars happen, that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if you think, well, in the history, you know, we've won every war, and it's like, well, we haven't, by the way. Mm. But people think that you have quite often, that they, let's just go to war, and you don't want to go to war. And World War One was named the war to end all wars. Mm. And every war like that, based on history, that people go into, whether it's a personal war in your workplace, or whether it's some community thing, or whether it's some national thing or world thing, everybody thinks, well, this will fix everything. Mm. We'll just do this. We'll step outside of our values. We'll step outside of the way we do things, and then we'll come back. Mm-hmm. And it never works out. I mean, that's how during World War One and World War Two, that was the foundation of the League of Nations, or United Nations. So this place in New York City called the United Nations came out of Woodrow Wilson's, like, we'll never go to war again. We'll tie everybody's money together, which is the beginning steps of a one world economy. Thank you, Woodrow. And thinking, if you tie people's money together, then if I attack your country, then we'll affect your pocketbook. Well, you notice that President Putin came down into the Ukraine, and he's trying to... He's doing a land grab into the Ukraine. And so the European Union and America touch his money. They do the Woodrow effect. And he didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, he rebuked America for firing any shots into Syria against Khorasan cell that was there. And it was like saying that we were infiltrating the borders of Syria. We should not have entered into Syria. I mean, this man, he's standing in Ukraine, right? And it's like, I don't think that thing worked. I mean, where's this little Woodrow trigger? You know, you pull this little trigger and all of a sudden Putin goes back into Russia and he leaves the Ukraine alone. It didn't happen. But there's another deeper part of that, is that maybe we could not touch his economy as hard as we would like to, because to damage his economy is to damage our own. It would be like dominoes. And that's what we talked about with George Soros. And you can go back and you can listen to it. I hope that's a related article here. That George Soros says, it's all coming down. It's the economies are. You got to ease them down really slowly. It's going to start with the European Union. And that's why Scotland wanted to pull out, by the way, based on reports. And it would be like a domino effect. David Wilkerson, who's now with the Lord, talked about the whole progression, how it would happen, and it would work its way back up through Mexico, and then it would come into the United States, and they would declare a national bank day, a national bank holiday, and it would all begin to reboot. And it's like, because why wouldn't they touch the economy of Russia to the point that he would move back in there? Because I believe it worked. But the whole thing is, it turned us into one world economy, versus that we would still have our different countries. So it's sort of like saying, it's sort of like your child saying, you know, I got my own place and you got your own place. And then they go to the room, you know, and it's like, that room's mine. Right? You know, do not enter. You know, see these kids. I was in law enforcement. They put like, do not enter across your doors in their house. You know, and
I got a stop sign on mine.
Do you really?
I think I did.
Oh, you did. Yeah, that was about right. We can't talk about the duct tape.
No.
And so, but the kid didn't understand. Yeah, you feel like that's your own place, but the truth is, this is your parents' home. And it looks like we cannot touch Russia's economy because it's all one economy, as George Soros says. And we have to ease it down little by little so there's nothing dramatic. There needs to be disturbances stirred up, like Hong Kong right now stirred up. Different countries are stirred up. And it's like they're trying to ease this puppy down so they can reboot it back up. Maybe it'll be just like the Lord said in Revelation, that you can't buy or sell without receiving the chip, the mark. Mm. I don't know. Either way, look up. When these things happen, Jesus said, your redemption draws near. Yeah, whatever's going to happen with that. But know that you, if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we're going to go be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's for men to see these things and know that the Lord is the truth. And you can make your choice today to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Find out where we've done it at meetmyfather.org. God bless.
Visit Miss Sue's Vintage Market for your special one-of-a-kind gifts and for all your antique decor. Vintage, rustic, distressed furniture, collectibles. On the corner of Ensley and North Palafox, where you can buy, sell, and consign, visit Sue today. Mark Downey and Associates, an award-winning real estate firm where innovation in property management and real estate sales has produced results that are nationally in the top 1%. Looking for an out-of-the-box marketer? Email Mark at markdowneybroker@gmail.com. If you're looking for a car, I want to encourage you to visit Pensacola Auto Depot. No gimmicks, no hassles, no problem. How do we know? Because Greg, Pat, and John have all bought cars from Pensacola Auto Depot. Visit them online, in person, or call today. In Pensacola, Fantasy Pools and Spa, your premier destination for pool installations, liner changes, service, and all of your pool and spa chemical needs. On the corner of Blue Angel Parkway and Dog Track Road, give them a call today. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer, or mobile device, and realize
it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.